What's up? It's your boy KFC, and this is another edition of the Podfathers. It's brought to you by Jack Threads. When you become a dad, you know, dad bod kicks in. Your body ain't the same. Your weight's fluctuating. You're putting on some pounds. Maybe you get unhealthy for a week. You lose some weight. You're all over the map. You don't know what size you are anymore, right? So Jack Threads has their new tryout program where you can get multiple items of different sizes, try them on, and whichever one fits you the best, you keep. You send the other ones back for free. That way you know exactly what you're going to get, and you know it's going to fit you to perfection. They have their own in-house line with their own brands where you can make sure that you are satisfied 100%. I got a lot of Jack Threads. I've done campaigns with them in the past. A lot of my clothes, a lot of my t-shirts, my hoodies, all my casual gear are all courtesy of Jack Threads. So you want to get fresh, you want to get that wardrobe hot and make sure everything fits you to perfection, go to jackthreads.com and enter the promo code PODFATHERS where you can submit for your tryout program. You're going to get 20% off anything that you keep. That's jackthreads.com, promo code PODFATHERS to save 20% on anything you keep. Let's do it.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Welcome back to another edition of the Podfathers. We are recording live in the Doghouse Studios, where at least one of us at all times are in the doghouse with our wives. I permanently live there. I feel like you guys, you know, kind of cycle in and out to join me every now and then. And all the dads listening all across the world join us as well. Today on the Podfathers, we're going to talk about, you know, when you need a little bit of time to yourself. Dads need to sneak out and get a little alone time, a little dude time where you gotta reset and you're not worried about being a husband or a father every single moment. We're going to talk about dad genes. Do you have the gene inside of you to become a father? We got all the opinions of every different Barstool blogger, all the non-dads in the building. We got them asking questions. So we're going to see which of them are fit to be a father, if any at all. Because I think what you realize, fellas, is that nobody's really ready to be a dad. Nobody's really fit to be a dad. You just kind of roll with the punches and do it. I almost think of it as like when you get a job. Like when I first got my first job out of college as an accountant, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. But you just show up every day, fake it, make it, snake it, and you know, hope you don't get fired.
I feel like I need to be honest with our listeners.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, yes.
That's the point
I
of the
like
show.
When that's how this yeah. episode starts off.
It is hot as a motherfucker in this studio.
God,
right,
I'm literally sweating.
It is ridiculous. So
it's
those
crazy.
Listeners just know that we're persevering. Like that's the true sign of a good
and perspirating.
Is that we're sweating,
dude?
I'm ready to give these dad takes.
I'm doing it at home right now too. My wife is constantly cold, and we used to always be on the same page heat wise together with sleeping and hanging out. It was one of the most important foundations of our relationship is that we were always on the same page temperature-wise. The other day, I'm literally sweating. My hair is, like, soaking wet, and she's putting on a blanket, like, oh, my God, it's so cold in here. Turn on the heat. I was like, this is impossible. What? You can't possibly be cold right now. Fuck. She's like, think about your daughter. Your daughter's probably cold right now.
We have
fuck
like,
you playing the daughter card. I'm sweating bullets over here.
We have like 6 cold days a year in Texas.
Fuck you, chaps.
When it gets down to like 50, my wife busts out this huge like down blanket and puts it on the bed. I'm like, I am constantly hot year round in Texas, and we can only put it at like 70 in our house. The one night that it's going to get to like 55 in our bedroom, I would love it if I didn't sweat through the sheets. But we bring out like goose and like all kinds. I'm like, why?
Dude.
Like, why can't I just be comfortable one night? She's like, just sleep with the sheet. I'm like, so I feel like a poor? Like,
yo, that's true. I hate, you need the blanket. You need
it's
to keep it cold and you put the blanket on and you can kind of get a little cozy, but you can't just sleep with the sheet, like you said, like a poor. These are the things that you have to deal with as a dad. You don't get to decide the temperature, you don't get to decide anything.
First of all, let's just
want the kids to be cold. Fuck them.
Fuck the kids. Who cares?
Let's take the readers a little behind the curtain here. We have our little text chain where we just, you know, bullshit or whatever. And Chaps wrote the other day, and so this is what frost looks like. He had a little bit of frost. It is like the one of the 6 days. And Kev, you were like, oh, like you took it all seriously again. I go, Kevin, he's fucking with you
again.
It
gets me every time.
Fuck you, Chaps.
It gets me every time because I can't even wrap my brain around you can't even comprehend the cold. You can't even understand what we live in.
Now, do you,
son of a bitch.
Do you think this is a weird... I know this is going to come across as a weird move. I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So we have our sheets. We have our comforter. I have this blanket that has been my go-to blanket since, like, college. And I just basically, when I'm with the wife, the size of me, I roll over, blankets all mine by the end of the night. Mm-hmm. And I get yelled at every single time. So I said, you know what? This is what I'm doing. I just use my own blanket now. Solo blanket. She has her blanket. Everyone sleeps like a fucking
bro, dream. You're one step closer to what the whole world should do. Separate beds.
I've broached separate beds multiple times. And that, like, ain't happening. Newlyweds. And she's like, what the fuck is your problem?
Isn't that so weird that you have to sleep in the same bed as someone? It's the most unnatural thing in the world. Like, why is that?
Marriage is the most unnatural thing in the
absolutely.
World.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. But why specifically is that a sign of, like, a good relationship?
See, we have, like, a pillow fort in between.
Well, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, but so, like, why not just have a fucking separate bed?
Well,
two pillow forts is better than one.
That's true. Like, but I don't want to move out, no.
You like being in the same bed?
Yeah.
Even though everything you just explained about how you can't be comfortable in the temperature and all that shit?
Yeah, I'd rather deal with it.
Fucking soft-ass pansy.
Goddamn adorable, chaps.
Yeah, I just like snuggling.
The cutest ginger I know.
Oh, my wife doesn't let me touch her. Let's not get it twisted.
So then what's the point? The point?
I just, like, poke her. If she's on the other side, just be like, what's up? What you doing?
So... We're gonna talk about.
It's so hot in here, I can barely think.
I'm like delirious. I'm like seeing. I'm like having visions here.
I just wanted to say this too. Like you said, the doghouse. This is the doghouse. I've realized. I don't know if it's because of my wife's personality or what. I seldom get in the doghouse. What I am, though, I'm the dog that she just leaves outside, and I have the electric fence, and she knows.
You're never going to go too far.
I'm not going too far, and I'm not coming inside. I'm just going to be there, and she's like, if he gets cold, he gets cold, whatever.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah, ever since the baby, I'm an outside dog now.
We got some questions coming up about that later in the show. A lot of the dudes, a lot of the younger guys who have not gotten down this road yet were asking, you know, is it true that you know, your wife starts ignoring you afterwards, after you have the kid? Like, yeah. Absolutely. You become second, third, fourth, fifth fiddle. So we're going to hear from all of them. But first, we're going to introduce a whole new, I don't want to even call it a segment, chaps. I want to call it a lifestyle,
a way of living,
a being, an existence. It's a little something that chaps and some of the Podfathers listeners have coined Sneak Out Sundays.
So Sneak Out Sunday is what it's going to be, is that on Sunday mornings, dads, you're going to get out of bed early. I know that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I don't like Sneak Out Sundays already.
Because you get 2 days, really, to sleep in. But you don't sleep in
you
as
don't.
A parent. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
So the whole thing why I kind of like sleeping in, you don't get that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So take it upon yourself. Get up 45 minutes before you know your family is going to go. Find a place near you and do what Kay Heasy Jr. said to do on Twitter. This is what he said to me. I said a few weeks ago, I said, I'm going out to get donuts before my family wakes up on Saturday. It's one of the biggest dad moves you can make, in my opinion. He responded, and this is one of the most brilliant tweets I've ever gotten. And I've been a dad for 11 years, and I wish I'd been doing this the whole time. He said, prepare yourselves. Like, if you're driving, pull over, turn the hazards on. He said, I like to sneak out for a full sit-down steak and eggs by myself and then sneak back into bed. Before everyone wakes up.
It's the return to bed that's really the power
move.
That's
the diabolical part.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make a change. So, fellas, go out on Sunday. Sneak out early in the morning. Go get the steak and eggs. Take a picture of yourself. Do a selfie with you and your steak and eggs. Tweet it at us. And then go get donuts for your family. And bring them back and just be like, the line for the donuts was long. Or don't even say anything. And then they'll be like, and then you only get one donut. So your wife's like, oh, are you trying to watch your weight a little bit?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I'm on a diet.
I'm sticking with the New Year's resolution.
Meanwhile, I have old skirt steak in my belly already.
Yeah, you're already have that medium rare steak and eggs. Crushing a little scrambies before everybody else wakes
up.
See,
the point here is that it, you know, when you bring back the donuts, you're the hero, right?
You are, 100%
the hero. And that feels good. You want to do something nice for your kids and your wife. But it's more about the fact that you are out there alone, solo. You ate your own donuts, or in this case, steak and eggs. Everybody wins. It's two or three birds with one stone. You get your alone time, and your family still thinks that you're dad of the year. That's when you pull the ultimate dad move, when they think you're the hero, and you really did it for selfish reasons.
Yeah, because you can go somewhere and get steak and eggs and be back by like 7:30, 8, and the family's ready for breakfast. You can still be there. Nobody's mad at you, but you had a nice, quiet meal alone. And those can be so therapeutic too. Like this weekend, I'm in New York. Yeah, so I went to a place and I had some eggs and I had some potatoes and I had some biscuits and then I had a cocktail by myself at like 9 o'clock in the morning for brunch. And no one was crying.
Chats ripping shots.
Yeah. I wasn't telling everybody to like shut up or eat your potatoes, McCartney, you little asshole.
It wasn't threatening suicide.
It was just quiet. I was fucking around on Twitter. Nobody was telling me to put my phone down. Like, it was...
I looked at the phone the whole time. I loved it. It was everything I ever dreamed.
I had maple syrup in my beard. I told K. Marco I had to go back and change because I spilled maple syrup on myself. Like, it was wonderful.
Dude, you take for granted the table for one. It's one of the best moves ever, and when you have the ability to do it, when you have no responsibilities, you don't do it enough. You either just stay in or you invite somebody. You go out with a girl. You bring your buddy. You don't cherish the alone time. It's like it's the old you don't know what you got till it's gone.
And it's not just the dudes either, because my wife, when she goes out of town on business, she'll text me a picture of her food and be like, I'm at this restaurant eating fish alone. Slow drinking my glass of wine. Nobody's
rushing. Yeah.
She's like, if I want to have another glass or two, I'm going to, and I'm just going to hang out. My wife, I bet she doesn't even look at her phone when she's doing it. She just sits there like she's floating through space, like just with a glass of red wine floating through space.
We tried to do a steak dinner when Shay was like only a couple months old. So we were still at the point where you could just bring her out and leave her in the car seat. But, you know, she ended up crying and whatnot. And
let's be clear. You brought her into the restaurant.
Yes. Yeah. Didn't leave her just in the car. But, you know, we ended up like, you know, it was a steak dinner. It was expensive. I ended up like shoveling it down my fucking gullet. And I remember being like, this is crazy. We're wasting all this money. I'm like choking on my steak. There's just no time to sit and cherish and enjoy it anymore. And really, if you want that, you got to wake up at like 6 in the morning and sneak out.
Let me give you a little preview of Clem's life. You know when I do my little supermarket, you know, shopping with Clem stuff? Those are done usually at like 7 a.m. And that, like the grocery store was like my oasis. When I was watching the kid and my wife would come home at 3:30, I'd go out and I'd shop by myself. And like just walking those aisles was like my way of unwinding. And then on Sunday morning when we needed stuff, go out. Get all my stuff, take my pictures for Shopping with Clem or Saturday morning, go out. I didn't do the steak and eggs, which I appreciate the steak move because that's like you're treating yourself.
Right.
And it's like a nice manly meal. I do the bacon, egg, and cheese, but nice tall coffee and just the thing I missed was getting the donuts. Because then it's like Christmas morning.
That's what I'm saying. Because if you get caught treating yourself and nobody else get anything,
you're an asshole. You're an asshole. Yeah.
But if you come back with treats for the whole squad,
You're good.
Yeah. Even if you come back and you smell like a little bit of cheap steak, like that's fine. Like nobody's
gonna
care. Or
bourbon. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. You might smell like a whole bunch of things.
They're not thinking about that. Everybody's just engulfing
the donuts. Donuts, donuts, donuts.
Yeah. And then you're like, where do you want to go? We'll go anywhere you want to, babe. It's Saturday. Because you know deep down inside, or Sunday, because football's almost done.
Right.
So whenever we really get kicked off, the early games are done. It's just going to be the Super Bowl left. Once this actually airs, I think we'll have the AFC Championship game.
So you gotta make your own Sundays now.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's your day. We'll do whatever you want to. Sunday family day. Everybody's got donuts. You got steak and eggs. You got the energy and the protein to tackle your weekend.
My buddy's dad actually had it's actually more of not even a sneak out Sunday. His kids were a little older when he started doing it. It was more the stay out Saturday. He'd stay out 4 or 5 o'clock, come home, bring a gallon of milk home with him. I went out early and got the milk. So that's a way to get out of trouble if you have a late night with the boys and somehow your wife let you out of the house with young kids. Just get a gallon of milk. Gallon of milk solves all problems and get some donuts.
That's terrible advice. That's fucking atrocious.
Clem's acting like a gallon of milk is like
you stayed out till 4 o'clock in the morning, but there's
milk. But I got milk.
My wife would be like, fuck cows. What were you doing?
No, that's when you just go out to 6-7. Say, honey, I came home, got up, got out, got the milk and the bread. I was home. You didn't hear me come in. I gave you a kiss. Now, it depends if your wife wakes up or not. I guess that is the real X-Men.
Now, that's terrible advice. Do not do that.
The point here is, though, that you need to turn the chores and the errands into a sneak out. when you are picking up the milk or like, hey, let's get delivery. It's like, no, what? I'll go pick it up. I can't tell you how many things I used to be like, I wanted everything as simple as possible. Deliver it right to me. I'll go. I don't want to have to run out and do any errands. Or now I'm like, oh, I got to go get the car inspected. I got to go do this. I got to do that. Because these little moments where you can sneak out of the house and just drive in circles, blast the music, maybe grab some steak and eggs or a drink, whatever it may be, those moments where you can escape are the only thing that's keeping you sane.
My wife's going to look out. She's going to see me bashing in the headlight. Like, oh, need a new headlight. I got to go out for the day, honey. Sorry.
Exactly. You're going to start making shit up. I mean, I always tell the story. My dad, he offered to run out and grab some milk or whatever, and he stopped in at the bar for a beer. And my grandpa was at the same bar doing, you know, the same trick. He was like,
bag of milk in hand.
I told her I was picking up dinner, too. And they're at the same bar doing the same exact thing. This is a tried and true method that is passed down from our father and his father before him on how to stay sane. And it's basically by avoiding your wife and kids.
Now, I have to clear something up because I've heard you guys both say it now. What the fuck is a bag of milk?
I meant a bag with milk inside. A bag of milk.
Bag of milk
Lena
is Lena Dunham.
Okay, I thought that's what you guys called a gallon of milk up here.
No.
That's outrageous.
No, if I said it, I slipped up. No, okay. Nobody says bag of milk unless we're talking about Lena Dunham.
All right.
Don't worry.
Well, that makes sense.
I feel like hunters and gatherers. This goes back to hunters and gatherers. The women would gather all the food. We don't need anything other than berries and whatever. And hunters are like, fuck this. I'd rather
go
fight that saber-toothed tiger than have to fucking be in this house with this kid and this wife any longer.
You think it's all innate in your blood? No, we were actually like, we would rather fight the woolly mammoth than just hang out in the cave with you.
Snuffleupagus ain't got shit on a fucking two-year-old that's just a terror. Fuck that shit.
That's great. All right, so let's get into dad jeans now. Now, dad jeans. Am I talking about our baggy JNCOs that we're wearing and not
comeback?
Not with the times.
That?
Yeah, they're making
a comeback, baby.
You know, maybe we're talking about the jeans. Maybe we're talking about the jeans. So I went around the office and I asked everybody who's not a dad, all your favorite bloggers and video personalities, to ask a question. Really just the first thing that comes to their mind. So you can actually tell a lot about these people and what their questions are. And so we're gonna ask the questions from these guys, and we're going to decide which, if any, of the Barstool bloggers have the dad genes. So we begin, let's see, who should I start with? Let's start with Hen Easy. We'll start with Hank, because I think you'd have to say that Hank is probably the furthest away from living dad life.
And I fucking hope so, for his sake.
Let's pray he stays that way for as long as we can. Now, some of these topics we've talked about one way or another, but it's fun to put a question to the face. And so Hank asks us, were your kids unplanned? Which is already kind of like, Hank, oh, Hank. And what did you do during the time between when you found out she was late and getting the news? Was it good or bad? For all the young stoolies out there who might get a pregnancy scare, because that happened to me like 3 years ago, and it was the worst 3 days of my life, convincing myself that she was definitely pregnant and that I was going to have to be a dad. Now, what's interesting about this question here is that I think there still is a level of, oh, fuck, between the late period and confirming whether or not she's pregnant. But it's a totally different, oh, fuck.
See, I never had that on either. Like, it was just, I'm pregnant. Because it just wasn't discussed, like, I guess. Like, it never came up. Mm-hmm. So I skipped that phase completely. It was just like, I'm pregnant.
See, if you've ever had a scare when you're, like, a teenager or a young man when you're not trying to have kids, it's a oh fuck along the lines of like my life is ruined. Like I gotta convince her to take care of it, or what are we gonna do? When you're trying, you're still like oh fuck, but it's more like there's no turning back now.
Yep.
You know, you're not like upset that you're gonna have a kid, but you're like, oh shit, this is definitely becoming a reality.
You're scared, and you should be, and you still don't even know how bad it's gonna get. You know what I mean?
You think you know, but you have no idea. Have no it's idea. Like MTV, man. True life.
And the first part of the question. My first was not planned, second was planned. My wife was off birth control for maybe like 3 weeks before.
Now, when you say like unplanned though, were you like, oh no? Or was it kind of like, if it happens, it happens, we're not going to be upset about it? Or were you like, oh shit, we definitely were not trying to have a kid here?
I always kind of want a kid, so I wasn't upset about it. Like, I was like, cool. Like, I always wanted to be a dad because my dad was shitty. I always thought that I wanted to be a dad and be a good dad. Like, mm-hmm. It always has been a goal for me. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't mad about it.
Were you, did you?
And
you,
I was only 22, so I was pretty young.
Right.
And was this crazy. was this young crazy chaps, or did you started to mellow a little bit at this point?
Oh, it was probably height of crazy chaps.
Oh, boy.
We don't
Dude,
know.
I can't even imagine 22.
Yeah, 20. Like I had said before, 22, brand new job in the Marine Corps, moving to Japan, had just gotten married. Like, it was like a wild, wild time.
I can't handle it now, and I've got, you know, 10 years of money and a little bit of knowledge and calming down under my belt, and I still can't handle it. 22 would have been a fiasco.
Yeah. Couldn't take care of ourselves at 22. Let's just call
and I probably wasn't very good at it. At the start, I probably was pretty shitty.
Which is why, you know, it's always good to, as scared as you might be, if as long as, you know, you planned it out and you're ready for it and everything, you got to remember that there's always shittier dads out there than you. People who are flat out poor, people who are flat out assholes, people who are 22-year-old maniac Marines. So as scared as you may be right now if you're about to go down this road, rest assured it ain't.
Could always be
worse. It could always be worse. So Henneasy, you know, they were planned. Love like the notion that Hank's thinking that we're all just like, oh, fuck, our wives are pregnant. No, there's a lot more that goes into that, which actually leads nicely to Roan's question. Your boy Roan, the new star of the SiriusXM Barstool radio show, he says, how intentional was having your baby? How does that work when you're married? Are you just fucking till a kid pops out? Is it intentionally on a cycle? How long do you fuck and come in your wife with no result until you start to realize that it's a problem? I always wondered how and why any people realize that, how anybody ends up realizing that they're impotent. So, again, here we are with the intentional question.
I don't think it means impotent. I think it means infertile.
Yes, correct. Correct. Yeah.
Does it take
dad
long?
Jeans.
Should that take long to realize you're impotent?
Yeah. That's like you should know that right away. Yeah. So this is a good question because I don't think people realize this at all until you get into it. The process of getting pregnant is fucking intense. And there is apps and there are maps and charts and times and calendars and cycles that it's funny that you know you hear stories of like a teenage pregnancy or a kid getting knocked up when they don't want to because it's really hard. It's like the amount of pregnancies that are just like completely on a whim are very, very small because it's usually got to be this exact period of time, this exact like 2 or 3 day window or whatever it may be at this moment, or it's probably not going to happen. So I didn't know that really when we started. Like I figured it was like you go off birth control and anything can happen. It's like if it's not that, you know, 2 or 3 day window after or before or whatever it may be, I don't even know it now, you're probably in the clear.
And if you're like a lot of relationships, I won't say all, you're also like, if your wife wants the baby, you're like, I got to get this baby in her. And, you know, it takes a little, when you find out your wife's pregnant, you get a little like, yeah, my boys can swim. So when it's not happening, like, oh, shit, is it me? And you're worrying about it. And then, like, if you're trying for a sex, there's a different ways to go and all stuff. You do get sex, though, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Unless you're me, but yeah.
One shot, one
dude, that
here.
Is the best part about this, and you should enjoy it and cherish it, is it usually is going to take a couple tries. It's going to take a couple months. You got to get it in because it's going to be the only time your wife probably wants to have sex with you ever again, that she's really going to be into it. So enjoy it, man. But, you know, I don't you think it's funny how, like, when you're trying to get pregnant, you're following all the rules and it's like it still might not happen, and you hear a story of like some college kid who was like totally reckless and doesn't realize that they did it at the exact moment when the stars and the moons aligned. It's not just like you can come in anybody at any time and it's going to result in a baby. Now, I don't know. I think we're all lucky and blessed enough that we didn't have to go down the road of when you officially realize that there's a problem of some sort.
Yeah, I always feel so bad for people.
Yeah,
go
I mean, I don't know, knowing myself, I'm always clearly like negative and pessimist to the point that if it just went a couple months, I'd start worrying like, is it me? Is there a problem? But I can't imagine the whole process of like, you think there might be a problem, and then you got to go find out if there is a problem, and then you got to find out if it's you or if it's her or if it's both. I mean, that is got to just be horrific because, like you said, you get a little bit of pride when you know that you got the job done. I'm sure there's an equal amount of disappointment where you feel bad about, you know, not being able to accomplish it. So, and hey, you know, like the ice cream killer. Did you guys see that story? This chick, dubbed the ice cream killer, killed her husband and her lover, who were both ice cream men, chopped them up with a chainsaw because they couldn't get her pregnant. So, watch out. These hoes are crazy, man. They might kill you with chainsaws.
Your boys better learn how to swim in the meantime.
That's a bad way to go.
Yeah, you're telling me. And like, hey, ice cream killer, like maybe it was you, bitch. Maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe you're the problem. Who knows?
Look in the mirror, my friend.
Yeah. So, Roan, yeah, it's super intentional. You got to follow all sorts of rules.
Roan's just like, is it fun just busting inside whenever you want? Yeah, I guess it is. It's fucking great. What do you want me to tell you? It's fucking awesome.
I mean, that is definitely the best part of it. I'll tell you that much. Tex, on the cuff as we walked in here, I was like, you got any questions? He just said to me, how hard is it actually making a baby? I was like, literally the actual act of it is pretty, you know, I think you know how that one works. Yeah. It's not that hard. Just leave it in, man.
The hard shit, ask the fucking wives. They'll tell you.
Yeah. Your co-host of Zero Blog 30, Captain Cons, chimed in. He was watching The Bachelor a couple nights ago. I don't know if either of you guys tune into that, but there is this chick, Corinne, who is an absolute train wreck of a woman. She is a disaster. She is a slut. She is crazy. She's
a superstar.
Drunk.
She's a superstar.
She's a superstar. She's got that intangible. She's a villain. She's everything in between. And so Cons is watching this, and we all have daughters, and he says, are you afraid of raising a girl who is super promiscuous or a girl who is super dependent on you, i.e. she doesn't move out, she makes you pay for everything well into adulthood, and what do you think you can do to make sure neither of those happen? Now, Connor, I know this is specifically a thing with him. He is absolutely appalled that there are chicks who are, like, in adulthood, in our age, whose parents pay their phone bills. I see him tweet about this, like, once a week. Yep. It always comes up with him. I don't know. I think we can all... I'm going to speak for you guys. Let me know if I'm wrong here. I think you definitely don't want a super promiscuous girl. I would rather have a dependent girl than a super slutty chick.
You know, like, I've gotten to the point, really, that I just want my kids to be happy. And, like, if she goes out and she has a good time, doesn't want to get married for a while and lives her life, as long as she's safe and protects herself, I don't know if I'm really going to care. Like, I really don't.
What you just described, I think I'm okay with. If your daughter was, like, known or doing it on national TV as, like, a blatant slut, I think there's a difference between, like,
I mean,
just be happy, honey, and, like, you're getting dicked by everybody you meet.
There's also an element of, because where I work, there's things that we say that aren't, that if our parents are looking at, they're just like, holy shit.
For sure.
And we know the reason why, they know the reason why we're saying some of the things that we're saying. And I think I will be the same way. Like, if she's going out to try to make a name for herself and being a star or whatever, and that's what she wants to do, and she's, like, achieving that goal, like, cool.
So you're telling me you'd be okay with your daughter being Corinne right now?
I wouldn't watch the show, but I would let her do what she... I mean, I would be... If that's what she wants to do. Like, I feel like you have to get to the point where you're pretty okay with a lot of the things that your kids do. Otherwise, you get into the position where it's like Aaron Rodgers. I would much rather act like I'm okay with it, and deep down inside, would it bother me a little bit? But I think I would always, I would like to think that I would always err on the side of appreciating
your kid loving you and
who my daughter wants to be. Because ultimately, I want her to keep coming back and visiting. I don't want to get the Christmas presents back in my house.
Yeah, ultimately, you want her to be able to take care of you in the
yeah, I want a good
like you said,
home.
Pay for the good nursing home. I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, to keep using this girl, Corinne,
because
as an example.
If she's ultimately really, really dependent, I probably raised a loser.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm still paying her house bill and paying all of her stuff in her 30s.
Yeah, but what you just said, like, what if she wants to live with you and stay with you and be, you know, daddy's football girl or whatever?
I did something wrong. I really feel like...
I think that's a lot better than watching your daughter be naked under a trench coat trying to seduce a dude.
I would much rather my children be strong, independent women who do their own thing than being completely dependent on me and want and need. There's a difference between want to and need to.
Yeah.
If they needed to stay with me for financial reasons, it's because they aren't educated, they don't have good jobs, they're doing all those things. If they're just going out and being strong, independent women, I'm okay with it.
Clem, you think you could deal with Sienna being a Corinne right now?
I don't. The old saying is keep your daughter off the pole.
Mm-hmm.
I think keep my daughter off of barstoolsports.com is also, like, number two on that list. And I saw the Corinne blog you had last week.
Yeah, like chaps. I wrote a blog saying she's a supervillain slut. Like, you don't want your daughter having people like idiots like me saying that about her.
I realize when I retire, I probably won't have saved enough to live comfortably. And even that being so, all that money can then go to her, and she just keeps me in my one little blanket that I've been sleeping in for years
by
myself.
Need.
That's all I need. That and, like, fill up the trough every so often.
I get what you're saying, chaps, and certainly when you talk about like having your daughters and like them dating or having sex, like you do need to accept the fact that that's going to happen.
Yeah,
they are going to become adults.
I don't like
and,
the idea of my daughters doing anything sexual at all.
Right,
like, in my mind. Like,
right,
I don't,
of course. It's not like we sit around thinking about this and trying to picture it.
But I know it's going to happen.
Right.
I know that they're going to be sexual beings, and I want to start preparing myself. Like, for
right.
whatever comes, you know?
Right.
Like, it's...
I definitely agree with all
and
that.
And it's a lot closer to me for me than it is you assholes. So I've worked my way through it for a long time.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Like,
hey, I would say...
I'm 9 years further down the road, so it's taken me a while to get here.
I would say that you've done a great job because, Lord knows, in 2017, there are probably kids starting shit up when they're, like, 8 years old. So I think you're already doing a good job of keeping
about to
that...
walk out.
I think that what you're describing and what Corinne on The Bachelor does, there's a world of difference in between those two examples, though.
There'd be elements of me that wept because of that's who she is, but there would be elements of me that are like, I raise a strong woman, too.
Like, that is so much spin zone, you'll fall off the face of the fucking earth
right
there.
It is, but I mean, I think that's what you have to do. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. Your co-host on KFC Radio,
mm-hmm.
Asa always talks about how proud her dad is
yeah.
of her. Like, and that they're still his baby. I think that that's the way that I would be, too.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
want to believe that that's the way I would be.
Right. You have to make lemonade out of lemons in certain instances. But I'm saying if I had the ability to pick.
I mean, if I pick, I would, I'm having
I, But
I'm
I would pick.
My...
I would pick the dependent girl over that.
All right.
Agree to disagree, I guess.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying, that it's probably more of an indictment of like her ability for like the rest of her life, like other areas of life. But just selfishly speaking, I'll just like sit there with an annoying dependent daughter as opposed to having her be Corinne with her nips slipping out of the trench coat while she tries to bang a perfect stranger
yeah.
on national TV.
Like you said, the goal of raising a daughter is you want a strong woman, independent, and you want to just like... If she gets involved sexually with guys, they're just not scumbags. You just
yeah.
want to like raise the level above even the blogger level. Let's be
right,
honest.
I was gonna say, like,
above us.
Like
we're good guys,
I'm probably considered a scumbag. So keep the bar a little bit higher. Keep her off the pole and keep the bar high.
Yes.
And that was three dudes awkwardly talking about how their daughters are eventually going to have sex.
Just skirting yeah. around the top.
I'm sure there are plenty
on.
Of
Jesus.
girls and moms out there just laughing their way through this whole segment, like listen to these two awkward, these three
getting,
awkward
getting
idiots.
Getting ready to fire off some terrible tweets.
Let's talk to our boy Caleb. The very this is an in-depth question here. How true is the myth that once the child is born, the husband loses much of the attention he is accustomed to receiving and therefore resents the child in some way? Now, this is a very specific myth that Caleb has brought up, to the point that I think he certainly has some of these feelings already inside of him. Here's the deal. You're definitely going to like lose all the attention.
Yep.
I don't even think I really had any attention, much attention to lose even prior to the kid. You know what I mean? It's not like I had like a wife who was like waiting on me hand and foot, and then like it's the Mad Men era, and then the baby came along and I lost all that. I was already a pretty distant back seat to even Duncan. So it's not like I had this radical change in life where it was like, oh, well, my dinner wasn't on the table and my post-dinner blowjob wasn't around anymore. It's like, come on. That wasn't
this.
Reality anyway.
You put yourself in... not you specifically, but you put yourself in positions to make it worse, there is obviously going to be an element of attention that you lose because there's another human being in the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many hours in the day. But if you're the kind of parent who needs to be like really a cohabitating parent where the baby is always there, constantly around, where you're not doing sleep training things, your first year and a half, yes, it's fucked. Like,
gone.
There's going to be crying, feeding all the time, doing all the little things, and then you're exhausted when you go to bed. But if you're still in that position later on, I feel like that's a you problem. Like, you created that problem by not doing sleep training, not making
mm-hmm.
them shut the fuck up, not establishing your relationship as still being important. Because if you do that, then you're good. Like, my kids go upstairs. My older daughter stays up till like 9:30 on the weekdays. but she's up in her room doing her own thing
right.
at 8:30. Me and my wife have our like hour and a half, 2 hours before we go to sleep while they're upstairs. Little one goes to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock. So she's gone. We watch the TV, hang out with older daughter 30 minutes, just us two, and then, or us three, and then my wife and I have our own time. If you don't do that, your relationship suffers, and it's going to affect your relationship with your kids, too, because
right.
they're going to see it.
Right. I mean, I definitely went through a period where I just said to myself, like, this is life now. Like, we don't go out. We don't get much adult time. We can't just have a babysitter every night. Like, this is how it goes. We're not going to be socializing.
And if you try, you're an idiot. Because you're putting yourself, it's terrible taking kids out to eat dinner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If
no,
you're taking,
I mean,
like a 9-month-old
that,
out
that's
to
actually
eat all
the main
time.
Difference is that my wife was like, come on, let's just like, why don't we go to the steak dinner? Why don't we just bring her out? And I was always like, because it fucking sucks. This is crazy. But I will say that I was way too cavalier and casual about just being like, well, this is life now. Because after, you know, like 9 straight months of it, our marriage started to suffer, and then like everything just becomes more negative. And like you said, I mean, Shay's too young to the point that she could like see what's going on, but just the whole atmosphere and the whole vibe changed because there was no like fun going on and there was no laughs happening. Because in my head, I was just like, this is parenthood. This is how it goes. And on some level, that is true. Like there is just a lot less socializing, a lot less fun, a lot more like stress. But you know, it's the classic like relationships take work. People say that and they know that and they admit that, but they don't actually put the work into it. Yep. You need to make a conscious effort to be like, let's get the babysitter every week, every other week, every month, whatever your standards may be. Make the effort to make sure you do still get some attention.
And you
because
do things that are like smaller than that. Like for example, we started like Friday date nights just at my house where we have like these on the floor, we'll throw out some pizza for the kids like they're fucking puppies, just like scatter random pieces of pizza on the floor. And my wife and I will sit on the couch. They'll have a kid movie on, and we'll talk and drink wine together while they're watching a
yeah.
movie and like engrossed in it.
But that's still, so you're still giving each other attention. And
right.
Yeah.
And putting your phone down, not having it like readily available all the time. I mean, it's always within our reach. Let's not get
carried away here.
Yeah.
Let's not get dangerous here, chaps.
You have to do those types of things.
You do.
We had the same thing where, like they said, like marriage really didn't change for like our relationship. It was always the same. We're living in the
it's
same
just a
place.
Ring on the finger now.
There's
that's
a
it.
Ring on the finger. Bank accounts at fucking zero. Like it always will mm-hmm. end up being after every few years. But then with the kid, it really does kind of just jolt the system. And like once that baby's born, nothing's ever the same from that point forward. And like my wife and I, like a couple, it was probably like a few months ago, maybe a little more. Like one day we were just on the couch, just like hanging out, and like we're just like just joking with each other. I'm like, oh shit, this is what it used to be like.
Right.
You don't realize how things subtly change. Like maybe my wife's taking care of the kid, I'm working weird hours, and then I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just going to sit downstairs and watch the Knicks tonight. And you kind of just go your separate ways, and you chose this person out of everyone else on the goddamn planet to spend the rest of your life with because they're awesome for you. And then you realize, like, you're not even really
spending the time
that you did, partially because of the kid. Now, I never got upset at my kid, like the Caleb question, but it's also because like I'm like, I'm an idiot. I probably fucked it up. And the kids are goddamn so cute.
I
like,
know.
I can get
I,
mad
I,
at them.
I've never had any resentment towards Shay in that department. I mean, I don't know
I
if
never have either.
I don't want to judge because I'm sure, you know, everybody has their own emotions and shit, but I kind of feel like you're an asshole if you resent your kid.
Yeah. And I really feel like you find it attractive when your wife is a good mom.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
And they're taking care of, me being out of town for like 4 or 5 days at a time, like looking at all the things that she makes you appreciate, like
oh, yeah.
what she do.
Oh, yeah.
I know nobody like Barstool listeners and Podfathers don't want us to be too touchy-feely, so let's move on.
Okay. this comes from your boy Nate. He's got a list of questions. Your boy Nate's definitely clearly been thinking about this, but he starts off, simply put, when, how do you do stuff? I don't even have time to do stuff now, and I'm a single guy without kids. I go to work in the morning. I come home. I don't want to waste time making dinner, so I order in every meal. I watch a game. I go to bed. When do you have time to do stuff with your kid? It seems literally impossible. Never mind older kids who have soccer practice and all that nonsense. I just don't get where the time comes from. Nate, listen up. Nate and everybody else thinking like him. This, what I'm about to say is so important because I did this too.
It's a good question.
It's a great question. I laugh in my own face when I think about how I used to say I didn't have any time. at his stage in life, at his age, when you're younger, when you're either single or even just when you're married, you have so much time, you just don't realize it. Like, I used to say it too. I used to, I can't go to the gym. I don't have time. I got to write these blogs and then watch a game and go to bed and start it over again. I don't have time to do this or that. And then when you have a kid and your time constraint is real, then you realize that you had nothing but free time. You had more time than you even knew what to do with.
I just woke up at 10. I don't know. I don't have any time.
I don't have any time. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I bet you should have been up 5 hours ago.
Dude, the other day we're doing stuff on the new house and we're going shopping and all that, and the amount of shit that we did before noon. Like, I looked down at the clock and it was like 11:30. And I was like, oh my God, I've had like a whole 2 days worth of shit crammed into the morning already, and I wouldn't have even been awake when I was 23, 24 years old. You have so much time, you're just not realizing it. So I don't want to be rude here, Nate, but you're a fucking idiot. You have so much time, you just need to actually realize it and do stuff with it, because it's only going to get worse. And I'm sure there are parents who are listening to me with multiple kids, and then there are parents who have 3 kids laughing at the people with 2 kids. It's only going to get worse. When you go from a single man to dating a girl to marrying a girl to having kids, it all just keeps getting worse when it comes to having time to do stuff. So stop making excuses and just do it.
Just figure it out. There's hours. There's two of you. There's babysitters, parents, if you're lucky. Not at night. There's times where we go, like, I'll be like, all right, I'll go grocery. My wife goes to, like, her stupid stores, like Michael's and shit, and Kohl's at, like, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. You know,
right.
We go grocery shopping at night. And you're doing shit with, like, just weirdos, because who else shops at those hours? But you got to do whatever you can do just to make things work.
I feel I kick myself every day when it comes to Barstool stuff, because there was other podcasts I wanted to launch. There was videos I wanted to do. There was like Game of Thrones live post-game reaction. I remember being like, I can't really do that because, like, I don't want to leave Caitlin right now, and I don't want to be working all around the clock. And now that it's like I literally can't, I'm so mad that I didn't do it when I could have. Yeah, maybe my wife would have given me a hard time. Yeah, maybe we would have sacrificed a little bit of husband and wife time. But now that it's not even a possibility, I'm so mad at myself. So take advantage of it when you can do things.
The single mom with 3 jobs is like, you three are a bunch of pussies.
I know. Like I said, there's always an example of people who have it much, much worse or much more difficult. Riggsy, the cockeyed wonder. Riggsy says to me, do you ever lie/deceive/snake it till you make it to get out of changing diapers or doing disgusting shit so that your wife will do it? Number 2, what's the meanest thing you've ever said to your kid out loud? And number 3, how often do you straight up Google how to do parent stuff? So let's start with number 1. Do you ever lie to get out of doing baby duty and making your wife do it?
100%. Fake sleep,
more
fake lie,
often than not.
More often than not.
The fake sleep was my go-to move. Just lay there with my eyes closed, like, hold your breath. Maybe she'll get out of bed and do this round, too.
Yeah, if you say no to that one, you're just a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Just turn the show off and fucking drive off.
And listen, and to all the moms out there, too, you're doing that shit also.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about, it's like hot potato. It's like, who's going to end up getting, you know, changing this diaper when the music stops? Because we're all trying to get out of it and avoid it. My wife the other day, I just heard her being very, like, over the top, like, go see daddy. Look at him over there. Go see daddy. And then as soon as I grabbed her, she smelled like shit. And I was like, you knew. You absolutely could smell that. You did that on purpose. And she just, like, gave me this smile, like, sly little smile. I was like, you son of a bitch. So we all do it. So, yes, absolutely, Riggs. Everybody's faking it, trying to get out of the worst duty. Number 2, what's the meanest thing you've ever said to your kid out loud?
This is going to make me... We all know
Chaps.
That. I'm fucked up.
Chaps.
That's not right.
Now, you've threatened suicide. You've called her a turd. You've called her a fucker.
All right. So,
what's the worst?
All right. So when my daughter was in, like, maybe 3rd grade, she came home from school and had a chunk of hair missing from her bangs.
Oh,
like, she cut her own
hair. Wait, what, you said this 3rd grade?
Yeah, 2nd or 3rd grade, something like that. Maybe even later. I don't know. She's a fucking idiot. So she was like, I don't know how this happened. And it was clear as day that it was a scissors cut. And she was like, well, I was going underneath a tree, and the tree, like, yanked my hair out. I was like, what the fuck? Is there a razor tree by your bus stop, like, that you just happened to go? And so she just kept lying and lying and lying. And I was like, listen, you pumpkin pie haircutted Chucky from Rugrats looking motherfucker. Like,
oh, nice. That's a good one.
Get your ass upstairs and quit fucking lying to me.
What was the reaction? She got her ass upstairs and stopped lying.
Yeah. I was like, I would just rather you look me in the face and be like, Daddy, I'm dumb as shit, and I cut my own hair. Like, because everybody does it. I did it. My sisters did it. Like, everybody cut your hair at one point. Now, maybe you're not in second or third grade. That's right. Usually a toddler move, so we should have been past that. But you're the one that's going to go.
If she was smart, she would have been like, this is your fault. This is poor parenting. You've raised an idiot.
Why would you cut your bangs? I mean, of all the places, usually if you're going to experiment, you're going to experiment in the back. But I was like, look, you're the one that's going to have to look like a dumbass for weeks, months.
It ain't my hair. Now, you know what a real dad would have done, like the Billy Madison move, like with the pee of the pants. You would have cut your own hair, too, for solidarity.
Nah, fuck that. My mom.
I thought he was going to say that. Give a buzz cut. Yeah. Start fresh.
My wife was, like, heated that she did it, too, because she was lying. But she's so nice and so good. Like, she was, like, teaching her how to, like, use, like, barrettes and stuff.
Cover it up.
Like, cover it up. She was like, does it look bad? And I would be like, yes!
Looks terrible! Chucky from Rugrats looking motherfucker. Clem, what's the meanest thing you've ever said? Now, it's different for us. I mean, Sienna's probably starting to understand
yeah.
things. I can say whatever I want to say, but what's the meanest you've said?
I got caught saying it. My wife was in the room, and it was the fact that I had said it, not that the kid understood what I was saying. She might have been able to piece something. And the thing is, she didn't even do anything that bad. I think it was just like, it was like a long day, whatever, and she's just not listening to me. I was like, see, and I think we're going to go give you away now. I just straight up said, we're giving you away. We're done. I don't want to be a dad anymore. And I was like, why would you ever say something like that? I'm like, come on, you think it sometimes,
I'm
right?
Not gonna
like,
give her away. Yeah. Really, right?
Can we?
We could probably get something for her, something decent.
Just the other day, it wasn't anything too bad, but it was the way I delivered it. I was like, Shay, you are so fucking annoying. And I said it to myself, like it wasn't even like I was making the joke for Caitlin. She just like happened to hear me. And I was just like, you're so annoying. I can't stand you. And she was like, really?
He was really saying it to her. We all say it to him. That we're saying it to ourselves, but we all say
we're
it
saying
to
it
come
right
on.
To her.
Truth tree.
But it was one of those things. It was like if Caitlin was in the room, she probably would have like would have thought I was saying it, putting on a joke, you know, putting on an act. But it was like I was really by myself just saying, like, you're so annoying. I really can't stand you right now.
We have McCartney is at this age where she will respond back. So, I mean, I'm like, God, you're such a turd. And she'll be like, don't say that to me.
No, you're a turd.
And trying to teach her not to bully because she's a little terrorist. So, it's just, I'm going to have to apologize. And I don't want to apologize to her little ass.
Fuck that.
She is a turd.
You don't want to apologize to turds.
Listen to the definition of annoying for the record. Causing annoyance, irritatingly bothersome. Kids are fucking annoying.
Yeah, facts
my
only.
My kids are fucking annoying.
Merriam-Webster proved it, babe. It's not my fault, Shay. It's just you're fitting the definition to a T. Last question from Riggs here. How often do you Google shit to be a parent?
Never. Not often enough.
I'm past the age where I give a fuck.
Yeah, like, but I also even I'm in the trenches. I don't Google because I am like stubbornly like they don't know what they're fucking talking about.
It's basically like MedMD. Basically, yeah. Anyway, you can form any MedMD question to make it look like you have hepatitis B.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anything, it's the same thing with parents.
Any symptom, you can find out you're about to die. You know, it's terminal.
I do use it. I used to use it whenever McCartney was, like, two, when something would be sick. Like, if she'd be sick, to calm my wife's fears. Like, I would find, like...
To calm her?
To calm the fears, yeah.
Usually, it's the opposite. It's like, oh, she has cancer.
If her arm looked like it was kind of broken, like, I would be like, oh, that's nursing maid's elbow. We'll just go get it.
Look kind of broken.
That's what I do.
It's a compound fracture. No, we're good. MMD says you're fine.
Calm my wife's fears a little bit.
I'll go to the fourth page. Like, if I'm looking for an answer that me and my wife are trying to find, I'll go to the fourth page of Google, where no one goes, and be like, no, this guy said we're good.
Right. As long as one person somewhere on the internet said it, you can rely on that.
Fakenews.com.
Breaking news here from Glennie Balls. He just texted me. Pretty specific question here from Glenn. What scares you the most about the prospect of hosting one of your kids' birthday parties?
A kid dying. We'll just be honest.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say money.
I don't give a fuck about that. Mine is the stress of not being able to do anything. Like, if your wives are like mine, mine will go over the top with, like, decorating, mm-hmm. preparation, mm-hmm. and doesn't want me to touch anything because I'm a colossal fuck-up in most areas. So, like, I just I watch her, like, at wherever venue we're hosting it at, and really don't have a job because I'm worthless. So I just kind of, like, watch her going around. It's so stressful for me.
Yo, fuck that. You have the free pass. She doesn't want you doing anything? It's a golden ticket, dude.
No, but there's so much stress that goes along with it.
Yeah, I hear you. But, like, see, my wife wants me to do shit. I'm still a colossal fuck-up like you, but then I have to do things, and I fuck everything up. I just want my wife to give me the free pass. Like, I know you're a colossal fuck-up.
If we do it somewhere else, like at, like, a place with, like, there was a place we're going to do, I think, next year called Bounce Trampolines. My ass is getting on those trampolines. You won't even know I'm at the party. I'll be like, how was the party? Good? Cool. Did you give her cake? Awesome. Like,
It's a party for Clem.
Yeah, it's just as, I but am just as much, that kid started in me. That's what I want to say here. That kid started in me. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I immediately regret what I said. I see Chaps, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Technically it did, though. Technically it started in you, man.
That's what I always say when she'd say how cute the kid is. I go, well, it started in me, just for the record.
It's also amazing to know how you can fuck up little things like tying a tablecloth, like a plastic tablecloth, to a picnic table, and you don't do it the right way.
How could you possibly do that wrong? I'll find a way.
Yeah.
I will find a way to do things wrong that you thought were wrong proof.
I'll just do it myself. And when she does it, I'm like, that does look a lot better.
Yeah.
Google.com, motherfuckers.
Trent, Iowa Trent says, when do you guys find little moments of peace away from your kids? Well, a little something called Sneak Out Sundays. And he says, not sure if you want to speak for your wives, but do your wives think less of you and your buddies who are the same age? Okay, I see what you're saying. Does your wife think less of your buddies who are the same age as you that don't have any kids? Do you guys go through any of that phase where, like, your wife is, like, sick of the one guy who's still a bachelor or?
Yes.
Big time. You know what the real problem is? I have a buddy who, I have one who's just single, so I can't really blame him because he's just living the single life. I have another dude who's been dating a girl for a while, but still, like, he's refuses to pop the question. He's still partying, going to the same bars we used to go to and stuff. And my wife will hear me and the other guys, like, jealous of him, like, yep. Longing, like, oh, man, he still gets to go here and do that. And she's like, fuck that. He's like a child. He's immature, right? I'm like, yeah, definitely.
We gotta find him a girl and they can settle down. He's like, fuck that.
No, he doesn't want that at all.
I mean, we could just call him Club Dave and let him.
K Marco, who I think would be a good dad. I think he's got the dad gene in him.
K Marco definitely would be a good dad.
That's the thing about Trent, too. He wants a vasectomy. I'm like, Trent, you'd be a goddamn. He's a great uncle, though, I bet,
Trent
as well.
Trent, who just went to jail like 6 months ago for drinking too much Rumplemans.
Touche.
Again, great uncle. He says, Keith says, when I have some extra cash saved up, I love to buy random shit that makes me happy, even when I know I don't need it. In deep places you don't want to admit to yourself, do you ever resent your kid for how all the money goes to them? Again, I don't think it's resentment. I've never been like, fuck you, Shay. I wish I had money to spend. But, I don't know. I've never really been like, there's never been a moment where I wanted to buy something and I didn't because of Shay, and I've been like, this sucks. I don't know.
Because I don't think you view it that way as like a line of accounting. You know, like, yeah, when you have this goes here, you're just like, oh, fuck, I don't have any money. And a lot of it, like, you grew up that way anyway. So you're just like, yep. I still just don't have money. Like, you're not thinking about, I don't have money because of this little
thing. Right, and I also, I will rationalize and spin zone it where I'll be like, well, because Shay is here, we're not going out, and I'm not, like, drinking as much, so that money will go to, like, this clothing or these sneakers or whatever it may be. So you can always kind of, like, take from rob Peter to pay Paul one way or the other.
The not drinking, I just say, especially, I don't know how much it costs in, like, Texas, but that's, like, $100 is a night out minimum, right, in New York.
It's like one round.
So like that. So we're just happy. So if I don't go out, so I've done that before. It's like, well, I'm not going out because of this goddamn.
So I'll buy tickets to this game, or I'll, you know.
And
whatever.
Let's be honest, my tastes are not that expensive. It's like $6 for the value meal. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not going out to like steak dinners here and there. It's basically fast food, pizza. We're dealing very, very cheap stuff. So like, if a new video game system comes out, I'm like, yeah. And this is the other thing. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like if it's something that I can somehow parlay into a blog or at least a tweet, I'm like, yeah, the PlayStation, I'm going to blog about my Madden season
this year.
Dude,
I do that with the sneakers all the time.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to make a new video. Can I get it coming out soon? I got to buy these shoes. It's for work. And we'll wrap up here with Big Cat. Your man Big Cat chimed in. Let me pull up the text. He actually texted it to me. And this is a good question that I think everybody goes through, but I think specifically for us as well, doing what we do. Do your worldviews change when you become a father? Everyone says that you look at things differently. Is that true? And then he follows up with translation. Do you become a pussy when you have a kid?
Yes.
Yes.
Huge pussy.
And the answer is absolutely.
We'll go back to Corinne. If you asked me that before I had a daughter that was on the verge of being a sexual being as a middle schooler, I would have agreed with you guys wholeheartedly. Now that I'm getting closer and closer, I really do want her to be like an independent woman. And I'm much more cuddly. Like I talk about it like on an episode that you'll hear soon. Where having daughters makes you just like want to be like a more cuddly person. It's made me nicer. Like I treat people more kind. Like how people view me as a teddy bear. Fuck. That was not the case
when you were 22.
You were a grizzly bear back
in
the day.
That was not the case. Like if any of my old Marines like figured out who I was, and I don't think that most of them know because I have red beard now and stuff.
Right.
I don't think they would know. They would be like, "Who the fuck is this dude? This fake fucker? Like, why is he in my ears right now, acting like he's some softy?
Why is soft, cuddly Uncle Chaps have the same Ronald McDonald tattoo as that crazy motherfucker I was with in Marines?"
I mean, specifically with the blog too. There's been a million times where, you know, an old blog would have just been like, "Fuck that! This guy's a pussy. Your daughter, your kids are like, you know, you did a bad job as a parent. You raised asshole kids, and now, you know, the Harambe thing was a perfect example."
Yep.
I feel like I actually would have had the same opinion even beforehand because I thought people were just really minimizing the fact that gorilla almost like bashed that kid to death. But people were like all about Harambe, and I was like, man, fuck that. We're talking about a little kid here.
Yeah.
You know, and that was definitely an example where I was
Harambe
like,
Harambe could have caught two of the chest and one in the head. Like that would be no problem.
100%, man. So,
and kind of with having girls too, where it's like, you know, a lot of the inequalities all across the board, and then like how they get like even like the pay, like the like how they don't make as much, and you're just like, back in the day we've been like, man, that sucks.
Yeah,
I'm a dude.
Sucks to be abroad, and now you're like, wait a minute, we need to find my local congressman and
like
fix this issue.
When you're talking about healthcare and you're looking at like Planned Parenthood going down, you're like, that's how women get fucking treatment for cancer. That's how they get birth control all over the place. It's not about abortion, and no government money goes to abortion. You like, you read up on all these things, and like pay inequality, and like having a wife that's strong like I do, like that she's like a feminist, it really opened my eyes. And like I look at legislation and I want it to be geared towards my children, and
right,
like the scale's equal. And I would have never thought that before. I'd been like, well, pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right. Just deal with it, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I always kind of acknowledge, like, yeah, I think this way now because I have a kid. It's not like I understand where people kind of get mad, where it's like you completely change as a person, and it's almost like you never acknowledge that you used to be a certain way or make different those jokes or whatever it may be. So I definitely will say, like, this is because I have a daughter now, or I'm a married man now, or whatever. But if your worldviews don't change after you have kids, like, you're probably a shitty dad.
You're probably the one that resents your kid.
Yeah,
just,
right.
And not just that, but a lot of it comes like older and like
you just get older
more,
and wiser.
Yeah,
and,
a little more.
I mean, people say all the time in general with the blog, whether it's kids or wives or whatever it may be, they'll be like, the old KFC wouldn't have said this. And it's like, yeah, man, because the old KFC was fucking stupid. Yeah, and I'm sure 10 years from now, the 31-year-old KFC will be fucking stupid,
just
too.
I'm just glad that I didn't get hired until I was 32, because I can't imagine what my take on
the shit you would have said.
I would have been, like, so racist. Like,
yeah, absolutely,
been like, oh,
man.
He's Muslim. He's probably a terrorist. Like,
if you're not learning, changing, growing, evolving, you know, you're going backwards. You're fucking Club Dave then. So world views certainly change when you have a kid. So that's it for Dad Jeans. That's we're gonna let's I guess decide who is the best dad out of the bunch. A lot of the R word being tossed around by a lot of these guys. I don't know if they're ready for kids, if they're ready to resent them already. But
I think K. Marco would be a good dad.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's more cerebral. And
listen, I've been doing these kind of hypothetical questions and whatnot on podcasts for years, and
Dan
we always go back to K. Marco.
Yep.
Dan would be a good dad too.
Yeah, Dan
would definitely be the silly dad in the playground pissing his pants with his kid.
Which, is that a good thing? I don't know, but yeah. He'd be like, oh man, that Mr. Cat's at it again.
I totally imagine Dan, like, every time there's a piss diaper, I'd be like, nice.
I need young Big Cat too, though. Like the guy who thought he could fucking do everything on KFC. That's the Big Cat
the king
I want to see.
Of irrational confidence.
Yeah,
yes.
With his kid, and he doesn't let his kid win a goddamn thing.
Probably why he likes tech so much.
Yeah, it is.
It's probably a little too barstool specific for people
right,
that are
right,
like, listeners.
Yeah, don't dive in that much if you're a new listener. Yeah. Let's wrap up as we always do with bedtime stories, the tales that make your heart melt, to make you, you know, not resent your kid and want to have kids. Clem, start with you. Bedtime story.
So we're getting into a lot of the I likes lately. I like. That's mm-hmm. kind of her word. And this goes off of what Chaps had the other day, a couple episodes ago. Her go-to song, and this I swear to God, this was not pushed onto her, is 24 Karat Magic, or as we call it, the Pinky Song.
Give me a break. Not pushed onto her.
Hand to God, I would not have done it. I couldn't even have done it if I tried. It would be too diabolical. So now she always asks for the Pinky Song. I want the Pinky Song. So then the other song is Chunky by Bruno Mars. And now every time she gets in the car, the first thing she says after daycare is, I want Bruno Mars. I like Bruno Mars. And I'm just like, yes. And this, there we go.
I mean, the fact that you're going to sit here and tell me it was not pushed upon her is just outrageous, dude. I mean, it's a good choice. She's got good taste.
The boy, all he does is make hits in here. So, I like Bruno Mars, and she'll just do the whole. These songs are definitely not suitable for a 2.5-year-old. They're looking back now.
No.
My wife listened to the whole album.
Kids, this is coming from the guy who was playing Nan Nigga last week, so.
Kids at 2 can listen to whatever they want to. Like, it doesn't matter. Because they're not listening. I don't even listen to lyrics.
That's true. Yeah,
like, there's this song one time that was about domestic abuse, and I asked my wife if it should be our song.
Kim? Was it Kim by Eminem?
No, it was like Justin Nzuka or something like that. It just sounds really nice. And she was like, have you listened to the song? It's about him beating her to death. And I was like, maybe we'll hold back on that one. Is there anyone that you like? And she's like, well, yeah, let's go with this one. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm happy to hear that she's taking on the Bruno Mars, because it's almost like a sports team thing. It's like you want your kids to root for the same teams. If your kid was like, I hate Bruno Mars, I think that'd be worse for you than if she like hated the Giants.
And that's the other thing. He goes, I like the Giants. I go, who likes the Giants? We always say Poppy. She goes, I like the Giants. I'm like, thank God I haven't ruined this. Because the sports are always on in our houses, right? And it's very easy for your kids to hate it, because I know even when I was a kid, I'd be like, Dad, why is this on right now? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't sports, it was something else. And then you hate all of the programs because of that.
I can remember my one buddy's dad used to make us listen to Mike and the Mad Dog in the car, mm-hmm. like to and from sports and stuff. And one of us would always be like, you know, do we have to listen to this? And he was like, yes, this is important. You'll thank me one day. You have to listen to Mike and the Dog. Chaps, you got a bedtime story for me?
Yeah, up here it's always cool because I can look at my phone and know that like 4:15 here, I'm going to get a FaceTime of my kid walking
from her
bus stop mm-hmm. to the house. And I know, and it's like, it's cool because it's like the first thing that she could do, which she can use her phone after she gets off, is call me and like want to FaceTime and tell me about her day. That's still pretty cool to have like an 11-year-old girl that wants to be
that
involved.
I was going to say, cherish that, because you know, soon enough that'll be going to a boy or a friend
like
or whatever.
I'll be like, pay attention, you turd. Like, put it the other way. Like, stop. And I want to tell her, like, you're not being safe. Pay attention to your surroundings. Like, all these things I try to teach her. But at the same time, it's like every day she just wants to talk to me, like, as soon as she can.
Right.
See my face and see
it's
what I'm
a good
doing.
Feeling.
Dad, are you wearing a jumpsuit right now?
She's often embarrassed by Michael. She's like, do you have to wear, like, bright pants, like, every day? I'm like,
yes.
It's my thing.
It's your daddy's calling card. I'm kind of in the same thing as you right now, but just on a much younger level. Shay is officially getting clingy. You know, in the beginning, with especially we put her into daycare so much, it was like she would go with anybody. You could hand her to anyone, and she'd be down for it. Now she will walk over to me and wrap her arms around my knees and be like, pick me up. And if I put her down, she'll start to cry, and it's like so annoying. And it's like there are times where I got to like go or do something, and I need my hands, and she's like, pick me up. But it is like, yeah, she likes me. She really likes me. Yeah, it's like, and you know, and then when her mom comes home, she trumps me. She'll
kick me to the curb and walk over and grab her arms, her knees. But when it's just me, she's like, pick me up. I like you. I'm like, yeah, you fucking like me. That's right.
And don't forget, once those teenage years hit, we're number one.
Right,
and
I know.
And wife is like bottom of the barrel, which is actually kind of scary from what I can, what I've heard. Are you concerned about that?
Say that again?
The teenage years, them turning on the mom.
Daughter versus wife, daughter versus mom feud.
There's little elements of that taking place now where she's a little bit more apt to argue with mom than me, because I'll shut it down like real quick. But my wife like lets it go a little bit more. So they like disagreeing on like clothes and makeup, because my wife ultimately makes those decisions. I mean, I have veto power over clothes, don't get me wrong. But
you better.
Yeah.
That's a whole other episode right
but
there.
But sometimes my wife will veto the veto, which pisses me off. Because I'll be like, I don't
know.
Oh,
triple stamp, the double stamp?
You can't
do
that.
I'm like, those are veto. She's like, they're actually not that bad. I'm like, damn it.
Don't undermine my authority like this.
The authority that I don't have. Yeah.
There's so much about girls that we have no idea.
Oh,
God,
man.
Damn, we're so lost.
It's going to be a long life. All right, that's it. Thanks to everybody who participated in Dad Jeans. If you got any more questions, you want to join into Dad Jeans, you're a non-dad who's looking to learn the ropes, or you want to express some concerns, hit up the Podfather's mailbox. It's kfcradio.com/askdad, and we will catch you guys next week for more stories on how to be a mediocre parent.